I'm very happy now to welcome Natalie Owings. She's the founder of the Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary in Glorieta, New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Tell us a little about the sanctuary.
We have a sanctuary in Glorieta which houses a lot of rescued animals. We have about 200 animals right now, and they are primarily dogs and puppies. But we also rescue a lot of abandoned cats and horses, llamas, a couple of goats. At the present time, we have 14 rabbits and numerous ducks, geese, and chickens. All these animals have been rescued from abandonment, and most of them arrive in very poor medical condition, and they're starving. At the present time, we just have rescued a mother dog that was abandoned in Española. She has 7 little puppies.
She's Angel?
No, this is not. This is not
okay,
Angel.
Because we're sitting in the cafe, yeah. and sweet little Angel dog is in
it's
Natalie's arms. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Angel is on my lap. She's another rescued mother dog, but the one that I was referring to is back at the sanctuary. Her name is Chelsea. She has 7 little puppies, and she is completely emaciated. We've had her for 2.5 days now. She's so underweight by almost 20 pounds. And she was trying to feed these 7 puppies on lack of nutrition. We've now given her tons of wonderful, nutritious food and puppy formula called Aspalac and some antibiotics to counter a potential mastitis infection. And she's beginning to do well, and she's beginning to trust us. She's a lovely mother dog. She'll have to have a home, and we'll find homes for all of the puppies as well.
Now, that's part of what you do. You adopt animals out.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yeah, if anybody wants to adopt from us, they need to come up to the sanctuary so I can interview them.
And you try to find good homes, obviously, for
yes.
everybody.
Only the best homes.
Where the dogs won't be tied up and
right.
whatnot.
Yeah, we don't want them to go hungry again or to be tied up or to be left outdoors at night. They have to be part of the family.
So how do all these dogs come to you? Do people call you on the phone and say, we found a mother dog in a dumpster? I mean, what happens?
Yes, exactly. I can receive as many as 20 calls in one day from people all over the state, including animal shelters who have an assortment of dogs or cats, sometimes even another horse, that have been abandoned or they see them starving and they want us to take them because they know the sanctuary will take exemplary care of them. So I have to pick and choose because we don't have endless amounts of room and staff. So we have to be careful, but I do take as many as I can, especially nursing mother dogs and abandoned puppies.
There must be an incredible, I mean, maybe for you, you're used to it now, but satisfaction in seeing dogs that are sick or on the verge of death or mistreated come back and go through that process of becoming healthy and re-socialized dogs.
Yes, exactly. It's very fulfilling. I've been doing it now for 30 years, and I have no end in sight. I'll just do it as long as I possibly can.
You've been in that location in Glorieta for 30 years?
The location in Glorieta for 10 years. Then I was in the Pewaukee area, 2 different places. I had the sanctuary before this. Before Glorieta.
But always in New Mexico.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. How is New Mexico doing if you were to give us a report card on how we treat our animals?
Not very well, I'm sorry to say. I'm sorry, but a lot of people here don't seem to respect our other species. So we have enormous problems with neglect and cruelty and abandonment. And our shelters are packed to the gills with all of these unwanted animals. New Mexico euthanizes about 55,000 a year, which is more than most states per capita. Yeah, we have a huge problem here.
Are other states that you know of handling it better or handling it differently?
Well, for some reason, for example, you go right across the border into Colorado, and you rarely see this problem of abandoned dogs and puppies because everybody spays and neuters. And here, it doesn't even matter if it is a law to spay and neuter. That for some reason, the people won't do it. They won't take the time or spend the money to do this. So it's a problem. So we wind up with all kinds of abandoned puppies. and kittens, and even starving horses.
And I know for a while there was, maybe there still is, a program to ship puppies to Colorado because there's spay neuter.
We've been doing that for many years.
Really?
Yeah, we ship puppies to Colorado because we can find lots of good homes there. And it's a wonderful source of homes. We're still doing that. We've taken hundreds and hundreds of puppies to Colorado.
When you get dogs who are starving or they've got various kinds of problems or they're homeless for one reason or another, you've got a lot of dogs there. How do they interact with each other? How do they... Do you have dog fights? I mean, what happens?
No. They aren't permitted to fight. And there are certain breeds that I can't take for the safety of the sanctuary and the visitors. And I'm not permitted to take any pit bulls or Rottweilers, for example. And I would prefer not to take any chows. Those are the breeds that are potentially difficult to have integrated into a harmonious environment. We have to have a harmonious environment among the dogs. So most of them are just benign mixed breeds. But there are many, many, many of those. We have about 40 dogs right now.
And they do the better socialized ones teach the new ones?
They do, actually. Some of the dogs are... they learn so well and they're so perceptive that they'll actually try to break up any altercation. They're really great that way, especially the ones who have been there the longest. On the other hand, they know perfectly well they're not supposed to have fights, because I quell the fights immediately. I put a stop to those fights. We just can't have fights at the sanctuary. So they get along. They get along beautifully. Most of them just love each other and have a wonderful time. And I take them out on dog walks every afternoon. We go for a run in the mountains. That's one of the things we'll be doing again this afternoon. We do that every day as long as the weather is not dangerous.
And you've got a nice piece of land up there.
We
which
do.
Is great for them to go walking.
Yeah, it was donated to the sanctuary, 130 acres, 10 years ago. So that was really wonderful. So the space makes a lot of difference to dogs. If they're not crowded, it makes a big difference to them, and they get a ton of exercise. Those two things make for happy dogs.
If there are dogs that can't be adopted out for some reason, do you just keep them for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, they just leave their lives out there. We have a few of those that it wouldn't be easy for them to be adopted into other homes. They couldn't transfer all that bonding and affection that they have given to the sanctuary. They're just going to live their lives out there. I have one that's 17 that's never been adopted. And then graduating on down to some younger ones. So we have a nice, healthy, harmonious, happy group of dogs that will just stay there. But we try to get all the puppies adopted out.
For you, you live there, you've been doing this for a long time. It must be, meeting all these new dogs, bonding with certain ones, letting go of others, seeing these cycles of life and death and suffering, that's a very emotionally both rich and probably somewhat straining or draining life for you.
Well, it's more fulfilling than it is a strain or draining, because at least you can see that you're helping a great many animals live a happy life. And sometimes it's difficult to tolerate the cruelty and abuse that these dogs manifest. It's difficult to tolerate that. But I do, because at least I can help the dogs out. I usually don't ask any questions about where these dogs came from. I simply take care of the dogs and do whatever I can to make them happy and well again, and to get adopted or to simply stay at the sanctuary. So it's stressful sometimes, but most of the time it's simply very fulfilling, very gratifying to be able to get some of this done. See these happy faces evolve from suffering, starving faces.
And you have to say goodbye to a lot of animals.
Sometimes. But, if they're getting into happy homes, that's really wonderful. I don't mind. I love that.
But, for example, these puppies who die of pneumonia.
Oh, yeah, that's always a heartbreaker. It's part of life, that we're going to encounter some little animals that have congenital heart disease. the mother that I have in my lap right now, she came with five puppies. The entire family had pneumonia, and bad pneumonia. And we saved the mother and two of the puppies, but the other three succumbed to very bad pneumonia. Even the veterinarians tried so hard, but we couldn't pull them through. But, you know, that doesn't happen as often as the good things happen. So,
we're talking to Natalie Owings of the Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary in Glorieta, New Mexico. You've also got cats. How do you keep the cats and dogs from fighting like cats and dogs?
Oh, well, we don't have them integrated. The cats have an entirely separated facility of their own. It's netted over the top, and it's fenced all around. We have about 22 cats right now, and a lot of them came as old cats because otherwise they'd be euthanized at shelters. And so we took nine, and there's going to be two more from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter. They just love it there, these old cats. It's a really happy place. Anybody's welcome to visit and see this. Cats are completely separated from the dogs.
And so they're outdoors, kind of, but it's netted over, so they can't go into the other parts of the sanctuary.
No. The cats are, they have a large, large area, but it's all netted over the top, and it's in the trees, and they have kitty doors, and so they can go in and out of their bunkhouses. We call them kitty bunkhouses. They go in and out as much as they want and play around, and they love it out there. They have a really good time, and they love their bunkhouses because they're very cozy and warm.
They're cozy and warm. I was out there years ago. Do I remember correctly that you were playing some kind of music or sound for them?
Yes, we have music recorded and playing all the time in all the facilities for the mother dogs and for the cats and for the giant doghouse dogs. We have a giant doghouse that I live in with all the dogs. There's always music, and it's chosen specifically for the happiness of the animals. It's very tranquil, calm music. A lot of it is harp.
And somebody has studied what music makes animals happy?
Yeah, well, I have for sure, but also Tufts University did a big study on that. And they concluded that the best type of music for dogs is harp. So we bought a lot of harp.
So tell us more about some of the other animals. For example, the horses. Tell us some of their stories.
Okay, the horses, of which we have three right now, we've had many in the past, are all rescued horses, and they have all been found in dreadful starving condition. One of them was going to be slaughtered in Mexico 2 years ago. His name is Longfellow. But when I heard about that, a veterinarian told me, and I decided to hire somebody to go get that horse along with two mares and their babies. They were all going to be slaughtered in Mexico. Brought them all to the sanctuary. Found homes for the mares and their foals, and we kept the big guy, Longfellow. And we also have two other horses rescued from really nasty situations. They were starving, and we just decided to take them in and give them a good life.
So, let's see, cats, dogs, and we've got a little growling dog here with us right now.
He sees another dog outside.
Oh, okay. Cats, dogs, horses, goats.
Goats, yeah. We have a couple of goats that are really cute. They're a girl and a boy. It's completely different kinds of goats, but they adore each other. They're always side by side. Then we have 14 rabbits, and they're all rescued as well. Eight of those are bonded pairs, two in a pair, very bonded. They have to live separately. So we have separated little housings for all of these rabbits.
So rabbits live in monogamous couples?
Yeah, very much so. They bonded pairs. They're really very bonded. They're just like married couples. Yeah, and they don't want any other rabbits there. The males will go so far as to try to kill intruders.
What does that look like in nature?
Well, I think in nature they really keep their habitats individualized, and they have a great respect for each other's territory. Wolves would do the same thing. And wild dogs in Africa, and prides of lions. Most species will do this kind of thing. They will respect the territories of other groups. Even coyotes do it here. So I think in the wilds of New Mexico, where we have many rabbits, that they do the same thing. They simply respect each other, and they're not going to tread on each other's property.
So at the Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary, you also do education. Tell us about you teach children.
We have humane education programs, and I love it when children come to visit. It's really fun to show them everything, and they respond so beautifully. We take them on the dog walks through the mountains every day with the dogs, and they love to see the puppies. I think they learn quite a bit. Seeds are planted in the minds of children when they see the sanctuary and how it works and how it helps so many destitute animals.
When you have children whose parents are the kind of people who tie animals up or who mistreat them, do you ever see that thought process where the child is trying to reconcile what they're seeing at your place and what they're seeing at home?
Yes, I do see that. In fact, one little girl came up to me once, and she was the tiny little girl, very, very, very disturbed and about something, and she said to me, "I don't think we treat our dog right." And so she was very aware that, you know, dogs should be treated better than her family was treating their dog. I don't know whatever happened, but at least she was voicing her views on what she construed as cruelty.
Do you have any ways that you can teach children to talk to their parents?
Well, we try to say things like, I ask them a lot of questions, like, what would you do if you saw a puppy being hit on the road? Or what would you do if you saw a puppy wandering along the road? Or a dog, what would you do? And I try to encourage them to assist the driver in pulling over and helping the animal, because that might be the last chance that puppy or dog has to be picked up by them. There's all kinds of ways that I try to help them understand that they can be helpful.
This is the Christmas season, and it's winter. Are there any particular challenges that you face at the sanctuary at this time of year?
Yes, it can be pretty rugged if there's too much snow, but the main thing that we're concerned about is the extent of our veterinary medicine. It's ongoing, and we need it, and we can't rescue animals without incurring a great deal of expense for veterinary medicine. So we always really appreciate donations, and everything is tax deductible. And of course, in this economy, our donations are down, but rescues are not. We continue to rescue all the time. That doesn't stop. So we have to be able to count on the public to help us out, since they're not doing this work, but we are. We really need the help to continue at this time. And it's financial help that we do need.
So people, if they want to help, they can go to the website animal-sanctuary.org. It's the Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary. They can also call you up in Glorieta at 505-757-6817. And they can call or write to you, and they can go out and visit. I mean, is it a good time of year to bring kids or families or just to go out?
It's fine. You can come any time of year. Of course, it's more pleasant in the spring and summer because it's pretty and it's warm and it's easier to move around. But you can come any time of year.
And you get to socialize with the dogs.
Yes, all the time. And the puppies and the cats and the horses. Some kids just like to brush the horses.
What animals do you adopt out the most?
Puppies.
What about the others? Do you have kittens also?
Sometimes we have kittens because we rescue mothers who have given birth and they have no place to go. So sometimes we do, but at the present time, we don't. We've gotten them all adopted.
Excellent.
Yeah, very good.
And now the goats and rabbits and horses, are they, what would you say, permanent long-term residents of the sanctuary?
Yeah, they're described as farm animals. And they're living there because they're very good for humane education. We actually employ those animals we use them to show children how to keep certain types of animals in healthy, happy habitats. So the farm animals are not for adoption, but just the dogs, puppies, and cats, and puppies.
Natalie Owings is founder and director of the Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary, which is in Glorieta, New Mexico. Anything else you want to let people know about?
We really invite people to visit and to see it there. And for heaven's sakes, bring groups of children whenever you want. Just give a call at 505-757-6817 if you want to make an appointment. We do have visitors by appointment and groups of kids by appointment. So you are welcome anytime, and it's always a pleasure to show people around.
When you have a mother dog like Little Angel, who's in your arms right now, do people adopt the mothers as well as their puppies?
Oh, yes, many times. I love it when we have a mother adopted with a puppy. Our larger mother right now, Chelsea, I wish she would be adopted with one of her puppies because she's such a good mother. It enhances their lives. I don't think it's right to take all puppies away from mothers. They really should be allowed to keep a puppy.
And so then they get along even when both
totally.
Dogs are adults.
Oh, yes, completely. They're bonded for life. It's a wonderful, wonderful situation.
What do you think about people adopting dogs? Is it better for a dog? I mean, I've got three dogs, but I'm a ridiculous dog nut. But is it better for the dogs to live in pairs or packs versus as a single individual dog?
I think so.
Do you?
I don't think dogs should have to live alone because the one thing dogs love is other dogs, and that's who they play with and who they have fun with and who they spend time with when you're gone. And I just think it's wonderful for a dog to have at least one other dog. Sometimes three or four or five, they all get along really well, and they make the household so happy, and they make each other's lives happy because they have each other. It's just like humans. They don't want to be alone.
Yeah, and they form a pack. Then your only challenge is to learn how to control them and make them behave and
well,
obey
you.
Well,
I think that term pack conjures up images of misbehavior, which isn't really always the case. A lot of times it's just fun that they're having. Like when I see a group of dogs of ours, they go racing into the forest. You know, they're just having a blast. They're having so much fun together. They're not really, they're not misbehaving at all. I don't exactly condone pack behavior because that can be dangerous to them and to humans. But it's not like that. They're more like groups of friends, just like kids have groups of friends.
And sometimes, for example, two out of three of my dogs play with each other in such a way that people who don't know dogs get a little scared or they think that they're being rough, but it's just their way of playing.
It's just their way of playing. There's so much of that, yeah. But you can pick up on whether they're playing or whether they're getting mad at each other. And if they're getting mad, you have to break it up, just like with kids.
Natalie Owings, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. I'm very happy to be here today. And I hope everybody has a nice Christmas with their dogs and their other animals.
Excellent. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. Podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us also at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz with John Greenspan presents the monthly New Orleans Hour with some Cajun holiday music.